Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are all getting ready to eat an enormous amount of food, and it makes me nervous. Jennifer Bryant, Nurse Nutrition Counseling, in studio with me. And Jennifer, we were laughing off of air, but this is the internal conversation that I have every year. I have this deal that I say, okay, I'm going to eat so much at Thanksgiving, I better go on a diet right now. And then as I get closer to the Thanksgiving holiday, I say, oh, well, maybe I should wait till after the holidays. Well, if you really calculate, I've been waiting for 30 years.
Right.
And I'm not making any headway. So Jennifer Bryant, Nurse Nutrition Counseling, is studio with us, and she's talking to us today about healthy holiday eating and the importance of breakfast.
Oh, yes. Good.
So, Jennifer, what do you think about dieting in general? What are we doing?
Yeah, so this is a movement that's actually becoming a lot more popular, which I am thankful for, but I actually call myself an anti-diet dietitian. Mm. So I don't love diets. And we know, you know, this is one of the things that we talked about at one of our very first radio shows, which is yep. that the number one predictor of future weight gain is going on a diet. And so it's so interesting to me that we just keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Mm-hmm. What is that the definition of, Jim?
Total insanity.
Insanity. So, you know, I think that really we need to focus on just having a different mindset about it, a different approach. So instead of always spinning our wheels trying to lose weight, what if we really just focused on being healthy? What if we focused on treating our bodies well, feeding our bodies well? I call it nourishing our bodies instead of trying to chase after this constant dream that never is fulfilled mm-hmm. of losing weight. And you know what happens when you start feeding your body well?
You start losing weight.
You start losing weight.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You said something two or three shows ago, you know, maybe back in September.
Yeah.
That two or three of the shows you appeared on, not last week,
yeah.
but a couple months ago. So, and you said that there is research about people that weigh a certain amount and they are not necessarily less healthy
yes.
than somebody that's really skinny.
Yes.
And then of course our society is all concerned now about body image and bullying and things over people, the way they look.
Yes.
And so I really like the emphasis on health.
Right.
Because there's some things that are going to, there's some byproducts or some fruit, if you will,
yeah.
to quote kind of a biblical principle.
Yes.
We're going to bear the fruit of doing the right thing.
Right.
And getting healthy.
Right. And if we think about, you know, from a biblical perspective too, you know, how does God call us to take care of our bodies? Does he call us to be a certain weight? No, that's not the right motivation, right? And mm-hmm. so it's really shifting our framework and our minds to really think about how would God want me to take care of my body, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that means sometimes, like on Thanksgiving, I think it means it's okay to overeat a little bit. Mm. You know, I don't.
You just gave me permission to do what I've been doing for 30 years.
I really think though that the problem becomes when we make these holidays, you know, they're not just a day.
Right.
What happens, right? They spill over. We have leftovers from Thanksgiving for multiple days. Then we think to ourselves, well, you know, I screwed up on Thanksgiving, so I might as well just start again on Monday. And then Monday comes, and what happens? And then we don't end up doing anything ever. And like you said, now it's 30 years later.
That's right.
So,
Jennifer, I think about, you know, I have a lot of people in studio. Like, for example, I had Holly Slade yesterday with Feed New Mexico Kids. And she shares with us the heartbreaking fact that mm-hmm. we have children in our community that don't have food on the weekends.
Yes.
They're preparing to do a food distribution here on the 20th and 21st, cooperating with the Albuquerque Public Schools, and they're going to be giving, I think, 3,100 plus meals to families. And these are frozen turkey mm-hmm. and, you know, the trimmings. They're challenged a little bit because they can't, you know, freeze mashed potatoes, but they're giving those boxed mashed potatoes
sure.
that, and frankly, I used to like those a lot. But, you know, the bottom line is that, and then there's a lot of us who are really blessed and we have too much to eat.
Right.
And I think about the stress.
Right.
So the folks that are really hurting for meals right now, they have so much stress and so many challenges because they don't have food. Then on the other extreme, there's people that have too much food.
Right.
And they're too worried about everybody eating too much food. And so they're all stressed out. They don't probably enjoy it as much. And gosh, I mean, there's just got to be a balance in the middle there.
There's got to be a balance. Absolutely. Well, and I think, you know, a couple of things to think about there. Obviously, if you are on the side where you have plenty to eat and you are blessed, please, please, please consider giving to some of these wonderful organizations, especially, like you said, on the weekends. Every public school in this community has a food pantry.
Yes.
If you live close to a public school, which all of us do, elementary schools, go take some food to them. I mean, it's just such a wonderful way to bless the community and be, you know, just a good steward of what we have. And then second of all, I think, you know, I'm living in the world of young moms, right? So most of my friends are young moms. We have kids in grade school, or we have toddlers, or we have babies. And so I don't know anybody actually who's not on a little bit of a budget for food, at least.
Sure.
You know, and so I think healthy eating, first of all, it doesn't have to be expensive. And so I think that we need to kind of shift our mindset about it and think about how far can my dollars go with what I'm eating? And so, like, for example, just a very practical example, instead of eating a steak or a ground beef one night, maybe think about doing a bean or a lentil instead. You're going to save beans and lentils cost about 10 to 20% of what beef does. And so that's just a wonderful practical way where you're actually eating a little bit healthier that way and you're saving some money.
I'll tell you a practical story. My father did his master's degree in Silver City, New Mexico at Western University. And when I was about 7 when he was working, and so this was a long time ago. I'm 60 plus now. I won't tell you exactly, but getting older every day. Anyway, when I was 7 years old, my dad was doing his master's degree, and I had 3 younger sisters. I still have them. They're all doing well. But I remember that my mom, we would have tortillas, homemade tortillas, flour tortillas, which is why I love them so much. Maybe not that greatest for you, and then we would have pinto beans, and she would flavor the pinto beans different ways and obviously had to accommodate younger children. And then we would have, on other opposing days, we would have biscuits and pinto beans. I mean, we were poor. We had no money. But I remember this time as really, really special, because then we would have a salad with maybe a few little lunch meat cuts on the top with, you know, some homemade dressing. So it was really economical. But I can remember sharing those meals with our family and understanding how hard it was to put that together and having this crazy appreciation for it. So I would encourage people, as we're talking about, you know, alternatives and healthy eating over the holidays, wow, nothing like going and serving a meal at Joy Junction. You know, going and volunteering with some of these organizations that are passing out food, because you're just going to appreciate what you have and what God's given you. And I think the other thing, and I want to say this especially to women, and I hope this sounds chivalrous as opposed to something else, but women are cooking so many special things, but they're so stressed out. How are you going to how are you going to digest that food? How are you going to actually enjoy eating it yourself? So I love the concept of family members all bringing something, because then it just reduces the amount of stress that you have.
For sure.
So we obviously wish everybody the absolute best, want everybody to enjoy their Thanksgiving, but we also want to be healthy, and we're going to talk with Jennifer Bryant more about that. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Only one God can occupy the throne of your heart.
Billy Graham.
Every person that ever lived has to make the same choice. It's either the world and its pleasures and its gods, or it's Christ. Which is it for you?
There's only one choice that will give you peace and joy now and a home in heaven when you die. That choice is Jesus Christ.
He died on the cross so that all the sins you've ever committed, all the things you've ever done wrong, are forgiven. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the way. Come to Christ. He will give you a new strength and a new power and a new joy and a new peace and a purpose for living.
Are you ready to start your new life with Jesus? Go to findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. From the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
We can change the world with the words we say. Hi, I'm Lisa Turkers with Proverbs 31 Ministries. One day, I was eating in a restaurant, and every time our server came to the table, she had something really kind to say. I was amazed by her gracious attitude, and I found it was quite contagious. So I challenged myself to make a conscious effort to use my words as a gift to each person that I came in contact with the rest of that day. You know, in a world that promotes tearing others down to build ourselves up, we can make a difference by using our words to bless and encourage. Let's look at those who we come in contact with today as people who really need a kind word or two. I've found that giving kind words, it's one of the greatest ways to make the love of Jesus known to so many who desperately need it. For more, visit Proverbs31.org.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant with Nourish Nutrition Counseling in studio with us this afternoon here on ABQ Connect. Thank you for tuning in and staying with us. Jennifer has a website, and that is Nourished, N-O-U-R-I-S-H-E-D, nutritioncounseling.com. And you have a few recipes.
Yeah, I have quite a few, actually.
I'm after you to put more, though.
Yeah, I do. Actually, I usually add one or two new ones every month.
Do you?
Yeah.
And she has great input about all kinds of different topics. And Jennifer, tell us a little bit about your business, because you coach people. You develop a relationship with them, a little accountability, develop an eating plan. I'm not going to say diet.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Don't say diet. I love all my clients. So I do. I work with usually I take on about 10 to 15 clients at a time. So that's one of the things I love about what I do, is I really can spend time with people mm-hmm. and really, focus on their needs and what they need to be learning. And, so that's one of the great things, but I spend a minimum of three months with each of my clients. And so they make a commitment, I make a commitment, and I do that because honestly, it takes more than a visit or two to make some significant changes. And mm-hmm. so 3 months seems to be a really good amount of time for people to really settle into some of their new habits and their new lifestyle. And it's so interesting. I was just thinking about a client that I have right now, actually, and she has type 2 diabetes. And she came to me with really, really high blood sugars and also really high motivation. And in the 3 months, we've been able to bring her blood sugars down almost 100 points.
Fantastic.
In 3 months. Mm. And that's been with diet. And she has a totally different mindset just on the way she looks at her health and the way she looks at how she's feeding her body.
Well, Jennifer, you've got a lot of training and you have a bunch of fancy initials behind your name. Tell us about your qualifications.
Sure. So I have my Master's of Science degree in nutrition, actually, from the University of New Mexico. I also am a registered dietitian nutritionist, and I'm also licensed in the state. So some states have licensure requirements and some don't, but New Mexico does. And so I'm licensed here. And then my last credential is actually really important today, especially that I am a certified diabetes educator. Mm-hmm. And today actually is World Diabetes Awareness Day. Mm. So.
Well, and that's something close to my heart, because I have a daughter who is about to graduate from college that is a type 1 diabetic. Has been diabetic since she was 4. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was a terrifying thing mm-hmm. For us when she was diagnosed. Most families think, oh my gosh, my child's going to die mm-hmm. or something awful's going to happen. Well, I'm just here to tell everybody, look, there's so many neat technologies and things out there. A type 1 diabetic, I know type 2 has similar things, but it is a different regimen.
Mm-hmm.
They have to live differently. They mm-hmm. have to be more careful. They have to, yeah. like my daughter wears a pump and some other things. We could talk about that another time.
Yeah.
But they can live very healthy, productive lives.
Absolutely.
And, you know, be athletes. My daughter, who is a type 1 diabetic, has been a very successful high school and college athlete. Mm-hmm. So we're really blessed that she's doing as well. And now she's, you know, getting ready to do some work with you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I'm kind of excited about that.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, she's at an age now where she is a senior in college, and she's really starting to internalize. And I'm going to say she's starting to think,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've been listening to doctors, you know, endocrinologists and diabetic educators and people telling me things.
Mm-hmm.
I have my parents telling me things. It really is time for me to decide what am I going to do and how am I going to live the rest of my life and how am I going to improve. And from the time she was four, I mean, obviously that's, I think she's 21 now. So a lot of things have changed even in that amount of time.
Absolutely.
And so you have to constantly be on the cutting edge of what's new.
Yep.
And we're all praying that there's going to be a cure for it one of these days.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we need to take care of ourselves.
We do. Well, and I think, Jim, you said something really interesting earlier. You said that, you know, when she was diagnosed, we thought it was a death sentence.
Mm.
That is not uncommon. And adults even who are diagnosed with diabetes in their adult lifetime, it is such a scary thing for people. And you hear, oh my goodness, you have diabetes. And you feel like it's a death sentence. And I think that your comment about how it does not have to be that way is such a great comment, because, like, I'm not going to argue that diabetes is, it's not fun. It is not a fun disease. Mm-hmm. It takes time. It takes effort to control mm-hmm. your blood sugars. However, it is very manageable. And so if you take ownership of it and you focus on how to take care of yourself, you can actually live a very good life, and you can do a really good job of controlling your blood sugars.
Yeah.
You know, I think so many people are scared because they've seen maybe a grandparent or a parent, you know, lose a leg or a foot or go blind or have to go on dialysis or all of these many complications. But really, the truth is that that only happens if you don't take care of it.
Yes.
So if you can, you know, empower yourself to really make some changes, then there's absolutely no reason that that has to happen to you.
Yeah, I have a gentleman, I won't mention his name, but he has been, well, I'm 61 years old, so I have known him since I was 7. Now, I've not been in touch with him the last 20 years, but he has been a type 1 diabetic. And the technologies back when I was 7 is you were giving yourself injections of insulin that were from pigs, mm-hmm. as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, obviously, the insulin has, I would say, improved and so on and so forth.
Yes.
But, you know, he's 85 years old now.
Yeah.
And here was a guy that did all his own yard work. He didn't really ever run or do anything that I thought was athletic, except he liked to lift weights.
Uh-huh.
And I remember when we were little, we would go over in his garage, and he kind of had these makeshift things, and you would always see him kind of working out.
Yep.
And then he'd go do all this, you know, yard work and stuff, but he's always stayed pretty thin and in shape. And he really has, what I never thought about then is he didn't overeat.
Right.
He ate the right things, primarily right. vegetables.
Right.
So, Jennifer, last time we met, we were talking a little bit about the Mediterranean diet.
Yes.
And that is largely a vegetarian. It's a way to season vegetables and cook vegetables and in healthy fats mm-hmm. and really nice spices and things. We're not at the point where we'd say, hey, just totally get off of meat.
Sure.
But the fact is, I have seen some people, if you read anything about anti-cancer diets mm-hmm. and other things, mm-hmm. there's so much evidence that seems to be pointing now to, like, red meats and things not being that healthy
mm-hmm.
for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Jim, it's kind of always been that way.
Mm, has it?
Yeah. I mean, if you think about, you know, in the 90s when all of the low-fat diet craze happened. I'm mm-hmm. not saying that that was necessarily a good thing, but we did really do a lot of research on some of those higher fat meats, and we found that they're not necessarily good, especially for our heart health. And we know heart health is largely related to diabetes. And so they kind of all go together. But yeah, the Mediterranean diet's a really good example of a great kind of just overall healthy way to eat. And it really emphasizes the main part of the meal is the vegetables. And then the whole grains and beans, those are kind of, you know, part of it as well. But they really only eat those, you know, high protein meats and even chicken only a couple times a week. Mm-hmm. They do eat quite a bit of seafood.
Yeah.
So that's where they get a lot of protein. But I do recommend that way of eating for quite a lot of my clients because it seems to be very moderate in many ways. So it's easy to follow. It's easy to do. It's not super restrictive, but it also seems to be really helpful for a lot of different areas with our health.
Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling in studio with us this afternoon. She's been on the program 5-6 times. We're going to open up the phones in our next segment. If you'd like to talk to Jennifer about a recipe or something that's heart health or something coming up for the holidays that you're considering, please call us at 505-338-5790. More with Jennifer right after these messages. Stay with us.
Is there something about your house that chills you? Are there strange sounds coming from your furnace? When darkness falls, do your pipes clank and moan? Whatever it is, give the guys at Bosca Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing a call at 444-7200. Their friendly service professionals are ready to bust even the scariest of home HVAC issues. Just dial Bosque at 444-7200. That's 444-7200.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's World Class Gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
I tell my kids all the time this, you'll never do big things when you're distracted by small things. You could be in your own leadership distracted by social media, unnecessary text, emails that waste your time, browsing, chatting with coworkers, and etc. If I were doing this in a big talk, I would say, starve your distractions and feed your focus. And I want to say it here relationally. Starve them. Remove the distractions and feed your focus. Starve distractions, feed your focus. Here's what we have to understand. Whenever you have what somebody else calls an opportunity, hey, this is a great opportunity for you. If it doesn't hit your end goal, what you want to learn is the art of politely declining. What you're going to do is you're simply going to smile and you're going to decline. Always smile and just say something like, I thank you, but this isn't going to work for me. That's it. All you have to do is say no. This is so important. You don't have to give a reason.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. I want to mention to everybody that our sister station, Star 88, which is 88.3 on your FM dial, is having a fundraising week. They are a nonprofit organization, and we want to let everybody know. I don't know, a lot of people in our community, Jennifer, have been listening to 88.3,
mm-hmm.
Star 88.
I do.
It is actually a nonprofit organization. The name of the organization is the Christian Broadcasting Academy. And I actually went through the Christian Broadcasting Academy when I was in high school, and there was a gentleman named Rudy Grande there, and Rudy was a famous radio personality, went out to California for many years, has come back, and now has an advertising company. Rudy, thank you if you're listening. What a great experience that was. But people don't realize this. We have the first contemporary Christian music station in the United States was Star 88. In those days, it was called K-Lite, K-L-Y-T. And a lot of people need to know that Star 88 has been kicking and ministering to a lot of people, particularly young people like you, Jennifer.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I consider
contemporary Christian music. I mean, it's one of those things where To me, it just encourages your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember years ago when there were like Christian rock bands like One Truth. Well, they would be considered now, you know, Petra. These people would be considered very timid today. But back in those days, it was rock and roll. So I can remember the Christian community kind of going, oh, or really not the Christian community, the older Christian community going, oh, I don't know if that rock and roll can be Christian. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But since that time, I've seen all kinds of fun things like Pastor Skip Heitzig at Calvary Albuquerque. He loves Beatles music, and he's a fabulous singer and a fabulous guitarist, and he formed a band with some church folks here. This was probably 10 years ago, and they called it the Lively Hearts Club Band, and they played Beatles songs to Christian lyrics. So it's just a lot of fun. Star 88's an amazing ministry. Star 88 is trying to raise money. So if you can go to star88.fm and consider maybe making a donation, it's a nonprofit organization, completely listener supported. We're a little different. We're a commercial radio station, so we get to sell advertising, and we get to have guests like Jennifer on the air. So thanks for listening to all that. If you'd like to talk to Jennifer, please call us at 505-338-5790. She has Nourish Nutrition Counseling, and she can answer your questions about a myriad of topics. She's already told us her credentials, but among them, she is a diabetic educator.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have some questions as a type 1 or a type 2 diabetic about what you're eating and what you can do to maintain your health. And if you call this afternoon, I've got some Hinkle Family Fun Center passes. They're celebrating their 25th year in business in Albuquerque. And even in the winter, they have some fun things to go do up there. So right up there by Indian School and Tramway. Mm-hmm. Wow, what a great place. So, Jennifer, let's go right now we started talking about dieting. You're not a diet promoter.
Correct.
What are the pros and cons to dieting?
Yeah. Well, I definitely think there's more cons than good, but I will start with the one good thing.
Okay.
A lot of times diets sort of help people do what I would call a reset. So maybe you found yourself in quite a lot of bad habits and you just feel like you need kind of a total diet overhaul. For a lot of
people. So bad habit would be, I get home from work tonight at 5:30, I pull out the French onion dip and the Lay's potato chips, and I sit there mindlessly dipping those.
Yes.
Bad habit.
Bad habit, especially if you're doing that very frequently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so some people find it really helpful to follow a strict set of rules for a short period of time to do what I would call a reset. And so that does work really well. And then what happens is, You say, okay, I've done really well. I've lost weight. And then what do you go back to?
Yeah, your old habits.
What you were doing before, mm-hmm. right? And so that is the critical point. That is the critical point where I love to help people transition from that more restrictive type of eating to a little bit more liberal, but still in line with making really healthy choices, you know, 90% of the time. But with a little bit of room for some indulgences every now and again. But, you know, we all get into this all or nothing mindset where we feel like we have to be following something 100% or we're not following anything at all. And there's no in between. And honestly, we don't live well in that all or nothing space, especially with our eating, because eating is something we have to do every day, multiple times a day. We have to make so many decisions based on our eating that it's really hard to be in that 0% or 100% all the time. So where most people find a lot of success is in that 80 to 90% of the time. They're eating really healthy. They're making really good choices. They're feeding their body well. And every once in a while, you can still have a treat.
Tell me how the coaching goes. So somebody signs up for your coaching. They're going to be working with you over 90 days. What are some of the initial things that you talk to them about?
Yeah. So initially we really develop a plan. It's a pretty extensive plan. So I have a 90-minute appointment is our first mm-hmm. appointment. So it's a long time. And what we do is we basically go through, we talk about goals at the beginning. You know, what do you want to accomplish? What is your main purpose in this endeavor? And then second, I always ask people, what do you think you need to change? Mm. And it's so interesting because almost never am I the one that comes up with these things that people need to change. Everybody kind of knows what they need to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's not really my main job. My job is to educate people on why it's important to make those changes, to hopefully help increase motivation a little bit. And then also just providing practical ways to be successful in making those changes, and also problem solving. So if something doesn't quite work, let's try something different. How do we do it differently?
Right. If you'd like to talk to Jennifer Bryant this afternoon, you will win some Hinkle Family Fun Center passes. Call us at 505-338-5790. Jennifer is the founder of Nourished Nutrition Counseling, and she's kind of explaining to us some of these things. I want to go right now to your mindset.
Sure. Yeah.
So there's a lot. I mean, we can talk about what you can eat and what's healthy, but how does your mind have to change?
Yeah. So there's a big trap that a lot of us get into. I call it the diet mentality, where we're constantly feeling like we need to be on a diet. We're constantly trying to make progress, but we're constantly failing. Mm. And it's like this, it feels like this hamster wheel, right? That we're just going around and around again. So, you know, the mentality has to shift. We have to start thinking about how to take care of our bodies better instead of trying to lose weight. And, you know, our society is all against that, right? We get bombarded with ads all the time for weight loss, younger looking skin, et cetera. And we've really got to combat that. We have to say, no, that's not what we're going for. We're really going for health here.
But Jennifer, a lot of that is our false messages.
Yes.
Like, for example, you told us, and I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
And the things that you tell us, you don't have to memorize them. You just kind of know them. If you listen to Jennifer, for example, if you see a package in a store that says fat free, almost always that means that there's three or four times more sugar in it.
Yes.
Than you should be. And here's the funny thing, which I didn't really think about before you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it may not have as much fat in it, but since you're eating four or five times as much sugar, your body is going to convert that into fat very quickly because you're not going to burn all those carbs.
Right, right. And a lot of times you'll see the calories in a product like that, just very similar to in the regular product. And so that goes back to the mindset that we were just talking about, because you get in the mindset that, oh, it's fat-free or it's diet, so I can eat more of it, right? And then we're really sabotaging ourselves. We're doing the opposite of what we should be doing.
You know, I totally off script here, but I'm thinking about the people, I don't know if it's the FDA or who it is that comes up with the restrictions on food and what people can say about things that they're manufacturing. But, you know, to call things fat-free or to call things natural, you know, that really doesn't mean anything,
yeah,
does it?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. If you look at the FDA's labeling guidelines, they do have some pretty strict requirements on some of the phrases and words, but not all of them. And natural is actually a really good example. There's really no definition of what is natural. And so, and the food manufacturers right now know that that's popular. And so what a lot of them are doing is they're putting that on their label, and they might cite or say maybe a reason that they're calling their product natural, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's better.
Wow. Jennifer Bryant, Nourished Nutrition Counseling in studio. More with Jennifer right after these messages.
Celebrate the true meaning of Christmas with the 35th anniversary production of Christmas Joy, December 14th and 15th. Tickets at nhccnm.org. A holiday tradition, dancers will inspire audiences to experience the greatest gift, the birth of our Savior. Experience the miracle. Don't miss Christmas Joy at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, December 14th and 15th. Tickets available now at nhccnm.org. Celebrate the reason for the season, Christmas Joy.
Take your knowledge of Scripture to a whole new level with online classes from Veritas International University. Learn more about the Bible on your schedule while working toward a certificate or fully accredited undergraduate or graduate degree that will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Select teachings from the Bible from 30,000 feet are now part of the distance learning curriculum at Veritas International University, with online classes from Pastor Skip Heitzig, including Old Testament Survey, New Testament Survey, Survey, Genesis, and Revelation. When you complete the Bible from 30,000 Feet curriculum and connect with Calvary College, you'll receive a special certificate from Calvary Church. Through Veritas, you can take online, fully accredited classes working towards a bachelor's, master's, or PhD. The spring semester is quickly approaching. For a full list of classes and to enroll, go to viu.ves.edu. That's viu.ves.edu.
This is A Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
New life, the triumph of new life, that when you believe in Jesus, there's something so violently that changes inside of you, it can only be compared to a baby being born. It's not exactly that, but it's so like that. It's the closest possible comparison. Something new is born inside of you. And this is possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He anchors the new life in the resurrection together. He talks about how we have new hope, new birth, a living hope, only because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So this is where we anchor our faith. We don't go, well, you know, the Old Testament, da 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 da. It's like, no, no. Jesus rose. That's why we believe the Old Testament. Because the fulfillment of all the promises. Because Christ rose, I know I have new life. Because Christ rose, I have this living hope.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryan in studio with us this afternoon talking about healthy holiday eating and the importance of breakfast and how our immune system can be encouraged by what we eat. So let's finish talking. We have a caller. Debbie is on the phone and she has a question about sugar in fruit. Debbie, thanks for calling this afternoon.
You're welcome.
You have a question for Jennifer?
Yeah. My question was, is sugar in fruit better, okay, or is sugar sugar?
That's a really good question, Debbie. I never can give a simple answer. You all know that if you've listened to me more than once here. But sugar is sugar. And so I have seen people who eat too much fruit and they're getting too much sugar. And so with fruit, just like anything else, there is a balance. Now, that being said, fruit is not just sugar, right? There's lots of other really good nutrients in fruit. So you have some good fiber, you have some good antioxidants, some good vitamins and minerals. So there's lots of other really good stuff in fruit. But I do think that we have to be mindful and make sure we're not eating too much fruit.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Debbie. We appreciate that very much. If you'd like to talk to Jennifer this afternoon, our phone number is 505-338-5790. Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling.
Let me say one more thing about the fruit, Jim. And this goes back to my first comment, which was that sugar is sugar. And so just relating it to our conversation today about diabetes, the sugar in fruit is going to affect the blood sugar exactly the same as the sugar in, you know, a cookie or something else. And so in that sense, the sugar is sugar. But again, you're getting some other good stuff with that fruit too.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to compare the sugar in a soft drink to the sugar that you get in blueberries.
Right.
Because the soft drink has no other value whatsoever.
Right.
And you're eating, the funny thing is a lot of people are drinking diet drinks now.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there's a lot of research now about the sweeteners not being very good for you.
There's really always been some research about that, actually. And it's just now becoming a more widely accepted stance, I think. Right. There's definitely some negative side effects from some of those artificial sweeteners.
Right.
Yeah.
Jennifer, at my age, I have a number of friends that are starting to experience some health problems, some cancers and some other things. Now, there's always people that are going to be really, really zealous and go for it, 100,000% type thing. But, in some ways, that's not a bad thing when it comes to these kinds of issues because there are food products like blueberries we just mentioned, who apparently there's a lot of research about how they have all kinds of anti-cancer properties.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, I have a friend that was diagnosed with lymphoma. Now about 30 years ago, and he just went all into a total vegetarian diet. Mm-hmm. But he's not the kind of person to just go boil vegetables. He researched and looked at spices that were also healthy, mm-hmm. and really learned how to just be a vegetarian. Now, he's a big guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to be 220, 230 pounds, 6'1", 6'2". He's a big guy. Hadn't lost any of that size, but the cancer has never returned. Now, he had to go through, you know, a lot of treatments and different things, but that has gone away. So there are some things that if your life is threatened, mm-hmm. you might just go all in and see what God does with that.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, I think we minimize the effect of what we are eating and how it influences our body, mm-hmm. you know? And so in all areas of how our body functions, whether that's cancer or diabetes or heart disease, there is almost always something that we can do differently with our diet to improve that condition. It may not necessarily go away. You may not be able to cure it, but you know, the old phrase, you are what you eat.
Yes.
It is true. It really is true. And I think sometimes we think, you know, oh, that doesn't really make a difference, but it really does. And so when we can really focus on, like your friend, with improving his overall immune function, that's mm-hmm. really what he was doing. He was improving his immune function so that his body would be able to fight the cancer and then keep that cancer away.
One of the things that he's told me over the years is that when he was diagnosed with this cancer, he really did think his life was going to be over mm-hmm. in a fairly short amount of time. Mm-hmm. But what he did is he slowed down. Mm-hmm. And he actually thinks that a major portion of why the disease has not returned is because now he eats in a very calm, mm-hmm. very healthy way, which he believes increases his ability to digest food and prevents his body from developing toxins and things because of the lack of digestion. Is that all? Does that make sense?
I think that there's a lot of truth in that, actually. And I think not even just with stress around meals, but just stress in general. If you look at all the things that chronic stress does to our bodies, it really produces disease in mm-hmm. our bodies. Mm-hmm. And so stress management is actually a big part of what I do with my clients, which is so funny because I never thought that as a nutritionist, I would be working with people on stress. Mm-hmm. But that's a big part of it. So I definitely think there's some truth to that.
Well, it's really stressful preparing for a show when you have this nutritionist coming on that's going to put all this pressure. I can't eat Lay's potato chips and I can't eat all the candy bars that I like to eat. Oh,
it's always the Lay's with you, Jim.
The Lay's potato chips. When they used to do those commercials that says you can't just eat one. Wow.
That's true.
That is absolutely true. But when you actually look at the ingredients,
mm-hmm. they're not too bad.
Potatoes and salt and some type of vegetable oil.
Yeah. You know, honestly, they're not the worst thing that you could be eating. The problem is, and you're probably in this boat too, but we don't just eat one serving, right?
I know. And well,
we
chips
eat way too much.
That's right. Chips of any kind. So let's go back to holiday meal. Is turkey pretty healthy?
Yeah. Turkey's actually really, really healthy. It's really high protein. It's really low calorie for the amount of protein that you're getting. It has a lot of other good nutrients in it. The problem is usually not the turkey, right? Mm. Think about all the other things that we eat with it. And again, it's not so much the day that's a problem. It's if the day becomes a week or a month or 2 months or however long, you know, and it keeps dragging on. So, there's definitely a couple of things that you can do with the holidays to make yourself a little more successful and still enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the biggest things is, you know, don't waste your calories on things you don't love. That's one of the biggest things. So if you see that, you know, green bean casserole, let's say that's my example. I don't love the green bean casserole. And so that's something that I'm going to say no thanks. Like I'm going to pass on that. And maybe I'll have a salad instead of mm-hmm. that green bean casserole. So I'm saving a lot of calories when I say no to just that one thing.
Right. I mentioned that my daughter has type 1 diabetes. A lot of type 1 diabetics, maybe this is true with type 2, they develop celiac disease mm-hmm. where they, you know,
gluten really affects them, mm-hmm. and it really affects them really badly. I mean, it creates all kinds of digestive issues and so on and so forth. So being gluten-free is very important mm-hmm. for a lot of people. But when I've made turkey gravy, mm-hmm. Typically you're using flour mm-hmm. and you have a certain consistency that you're used to. And I've tried alternatives like cornstarch. I've used some of the flours mm-hmm. that are gluten-free. And they just don't taste the same.
Just don't quite work. Cornstarch is probably the closest alternative. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of a trick to it, though, because you want to mix it with a little bit of water before you try to add your gravy. Otherwise, it gets lumpy and it doesn't quite work as well.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's definitely a taste difference.
Well, Jennifer Bryan is with us in studio. She has Nourish Nutrition Counseling, and you can go to nourishnutritioncounseling.com. When we come back, Jennifer's going to talk to us a little bit about immunity mm-hmm. As we go into the winter months and how food can help us with that. We'll be right back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Elma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, today's a heavy topic. Is there a scientific explanation for suicide bombers?
Chris, our world today is on edge because of a suicidal terrorist. Since evolution claims to be a theory of everything, there must be an evolutionary explanation for even this self-destructive behavior. And sure enough, some evolutionists are now saying that suicidal tendencies are a variation of an evolutionary adaptation that was previously useful in some evolutionary sense. Creationists just stand back and wonder how they can be so misguided, so deceived. The Bible says that man was created initially in a very good state, in the image of God. Yet when Adam rebelled against God's order, creation was permanently distorted, and now we live in a world dominated by sin's ruinous effects. Chris, so you see, what began back in Genesis continues today, even with suicidal bombers.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer, it seems when we get cold months, we all start to get flus and colds and different things. That doesn't mm-hmm. seem to happen that much in the summer. Mm-hmm. What can we eat, or how can we eat to help boost our immune systems?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of things we can do, Jim. And first of all, the cold weather is not the reason we get sick. Mm. So we used to always say, I remember my mom always saying, you know, cover your head. You're going to get sick if you go outside in the cold, you know, and that's not what happens. It happens because we're indoors more often, and so germs tend to accumulate more in the inside spaces where we're living more of our lives in the winter. And so that's why we get sick more in the winter. It's not because of the cold weather. There's actually quite a few things that you can do for your immunity. There's, there's a lot of sort of supplements that we can take and we can talk about. There's a couple that are really well researched that actually I would say have been close to proven to be effective.
Okay.
You can't really ever say something's proven with nutrition because there's so many variables, but there's a couple that are close to being able to say that. One of them would be elderberry extract. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't. No.
It's a berry, of course. And what they do is they just concentrate it, and you can actually make it at home. I don't actually do that. I don't have a recipe for that. But I know probably some of you that are listening probably do. So that's wonderful. And it doesn't necessarily prevent you from getting sick, but it reduces how long you're sick. Mm. So it reduces the duration of your illness. Vitamin C and zinc are also really good ones. And the trick with those, though, is that you have to be taking them even before you start having symptoms. Mm. So for a lot of people, I would recommend actually taking a vitamin C or a zinc supplement just all winter long to just kind of prevent that from happening. And then also vitamin E and vitamin D also have a role. And so, you know, talking about these and saying, you know, let's take some supplements, that's fine. And that's not necessarily a problem, but it's actually always, always better to get those nutrients from foods. Mm. And so one of the things that we really want to think about is just how can we eat more healthy, whole foods? And so vegetables comes back. It comes back again and again. Eat your veggies this winter. They have tons of good vitamin C. They have some zinc. They have good antioxidants and phytochemicals. They really help your body's immune system work properly. And then a couple of specific ones, onions and garlic are actually supposed to be really good to boost your immune system. Berries, which are a little bit harder to find this time of year, but this would be a really good chance to use maybe a frozen berry if you're not able to find the fresh ones. And then also nuts and seeds. Those are really good to help boost immunity this time of year as well. And then the other thing, and we talked about this a couple sessions ago, Jim, is the probiotics. Mm-hmm. So it's thought that over 90% of our immune system is in our gut.
Wow.
And so if we can keep our gut healthy and we can give our bodies a daily dose of probiotics, then that's going to be really helpful with our immune system. And again, I always like to recommend food over supplements. So if you're a yogurt fan, it's better to have a little bit every single day than a lot once a week, let's say.
So are there yogurts that are available that are not, don't have active cultures in them? Is there something you need to really be looking
for? There are, yeah. If they do have active cultures, it will say so on the label. And there are actually a couple of specific probiotic strains that really help with immunity. And so the two words that you kind of want to keep an eye out for is the Bifidobacterium. And there's a couple types of those, but generally speaking, if you get one of those, that's a good immune booster. And then the Lactobacillus. And that's probably the most common one is the Lactobacillus acidophilus. Mm. That's the one that you find quite frequently in yogurts and things. And that's a really good immune booster.
Now, I know I've seen some milk products that they, I want to assume they inject, not inject, that's not the right term, but they add it to the
they
liquid.
They add the probiotics, yes.
Is that okay?
Yes. So okay. Like a kefir. Is what you're talking about, or some people call it kefir.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure the correct way to pronounce it, but that's a wonderful option. There's lots of other options, actually. Kimchi is a really good option if you have a naturally fermented sauerkraut or pickled vegetables that you actually use the probiotics to pickle, then that's a really good option. The problem is when we buy the canned stuff in the stores, that doesn't have the live probiotics.
I gotcha. Are there things, Jennifer, as we're talking about nutrition, I remember when I was young, I would always observe my parents, and they would want me to eat what we call parent food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to eat that parent food. I wanted to eat Pop-Tarts.
Kid food.
So how do we teach our kids to eat the same type of thing that we know will make them healthy?
Yeah. So I mean, it really starts at an early age, right? And a lot of times as young moms, we choose the easy food instead of the healthy food. Mm-hmm. And so we're reaching for, you know, the bag of goldfish or the granola bar or the other foods instead of the cucumber slices or the cut up apple or whatever it is. And because it's harder to prepare those fresh foods. And so I think we really just need to make an effort to give our kids fresh foods and to make them try foods, you know? So who's the parent here, right?
That's right.
My kids don't leave the table until they have tried everything. They don't have to eat everything necessarily, but they do have to try everything. And I run into the issue of having picky kids all the time. But I was one of those parents that, you know, I'm not going to make an extra meal for my kids. They're just going to eat what we eat. And if they don't want it, then they're going to be a little bit hungry.
Well, I've had 5 kids, so I have a little bit of experience. And I noticed that my kids, all of them liked grapes. They really did. They all liked apples.
Right.
Now, three of the five used to like peanut butter on the apples. Mm-hmm. Is that
delicious?
Bad?
No, that's great. It's a really good mix of like protein and good healthy fats along with a carbohydrate food, which would be your apple. The other thing I would say too that just really helps kids is if you can involve them. So like, for example, when I'm packing my kids' lunches, I let them choose, do you want grapes or an apple for lunch? And they can choose, and I'm okay with either option, right? I'm okay with them choosing grapes or apples. So that's another really good opportunity. You give them a choice, but then as a parent, you're okay with whatever choice they choose.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that's a big chore because a lot of people are handing. I know in the old days we would put the kids in front of the TV with a video.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, recently I'm talking with Vyante, New Mexico, and they're talking about the importance of early childhood education and how we ought to be reading stories to our 2 and 3 year olds.
Yeah.
You know, not setting them in front of the TV.
Nope.
Do they even have VHS tapes now? I don't even know how that works now. Even DVDs are kind of gone. Everything's like streaming now.
Yes.
So, you know, as you're talking, I'm just thinking about all these messages mm-hmm. about how to be a good parent. And it never was easy to be a parent. And the funny thing about being a parent is you have the first child, you coddle that child, you protect it, you can't let anybody else touch it, you know, all of these different things. But then the second child, you know, you're holding them by one arm and, hey, you know, go play in the street or just play in the front yard, just stay out of the street, kid, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. And the third child, you don't even know where they are.
Right, right.
But I know parents are really concerned. They want their kids to be, they want them to develop their brains the mm-hmm. way they want them. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm thinking about Holly Slade and her talking about these kids that are food insecure.
Mm-hmm.
How could they possibly study as a kindergartner or read a book when they haven't eaten for 2 days?
Right.
So again, that balance that we started the program
yeah.
with, there's a way for us to feed our kids some healthy things and train them up. When would you have a child start help preparing meals?
Yeah, so my kids are, Joshua's 9 and Claire's 5. And actually, I would say even at 3, both of my kids were helping with really, really minimal things. So like, for example, they were sitting on the counter washing the strawberries.
Uh-huh,
or
nice.
I have a salad spinner, and so they would push the button down and watch it spin, and they loved that. They would help me stir things. They started helping to set the table with their own dishes when they were 3 or 4, because they're plastic and it's okay if they get dropped, you know.
Sure.
But I start them really, really young, and I let them help me do the meal planning too. I let them help me choose recipes. We really try to sit down as a family most nights. That doesn't always happen, but most nights we try to sit down as a family. We try to really enjoy what we're eating. We try to enjoy conversation, you know, so it's more of it's not just about the food you're eating. It's about the family atmosphere and the socialization of it too.
Hey, we just have a very short amount of time left. Leave us with something we ought to really focus on making our holiday meal more healthy.
Yeah. So I think I'll leave you with a couple of things. One, really watch the amount of sugar that you're consuming over the holidays. Maybe leave room for that most favorite dessert or that most favorite pie. Don't feel like you have to try all of them. The more sugar we eat, the less our immune system works. Mm. And so that kind of goes with both aspects of the healthy holiday. And then the other thing I would really encourage you all to do, and this is kind of what I just mentioned, but really focus on the family and the friends of the holiday. Don't focus solely on the food. Focus on what you're thankful for. Focus on the family, focus on your friends, and really just enjoy the time together rather than just enjoying the food.
Well, we're saying all of these things, and I know there's a bunch of OCD moms that are all stressed out about preparing the Thanksgiving meal. No matter what we say, they're not going to relax. But we pray.
Then you buy it from the grocery store. Don't worry about it.
There you go. Well, I can tell you right now, I really appreciate all the fabulous meals my parents provided for us. And I think my children appreciate the cooking that that I've done for them. And, you know, my friends, I just want to bless you this holiday season. Christmas is coming up, but kind of the first big meal is Thanksgiving. And I know a lot of our Jewish listeners have all kinds of celebrations they're doing. So thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Jennifer Bryant, always appreciate you.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.